Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of March. Not to be confused with the Ides of March. At your use this morning. From Humboldt County Sheriff's Department, traveling incognito this morning, Lieutenant Sam Williams. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So you threw Billy out of town? Or he got to go to the gathering and you got to pick up the pieces?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. We won't ask where his pieces are then, huh?
Nope.
I'm sure it's he went north and it's wet and it's cold. I'm sure that's where they had their gathering, right?
I have no idea.
Maybe not. Yeah, I see. You bob and weave on it. Yeah, that's probably the wisest thing to do anyway. All right. Are you ready for why do we say
last
that?
Last time you got me on this one, so I'm ready.
Okay. In reference to a person, why do we use the word page?
Page.
Yeah. It's not like a piece of paper or in a book.
I'm thinking of the old technology right now of, like, sending someone a page.
If you did that, it would be slave trade. French-speaking Normans who invaded England in the 11th century called a young, strong boy a page. Since youngsters perform many menial tasks, the term came to designate a male servant of any age.
That's right.
Kitchen pages, scullery pages, and stable pages can be found in many big establishments. It was only proper for lords and ladies to send a page to deliver a message. Hence, a person was said to be paged when a search was made for him or her in a public place. Although today we use electronic speaker systems, or cell phones, instead of uninformed pages hurrying about with messages on a silver tray, the term paged retains its old meaning. There you go.
Interesting.
Now you can sound fancy today.
Yep.
Yes, I'm paging you.
The sheriff sent his page today.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that explains the tights.
Yep.
Yeah. See, we can play when we're on the air. We can play a lot. Oh, boy. So how's the weather impacting you guys? Are you seeing slips and slides and issues?
Yeah. Well, our special services unit, they've been doing quite a bit of, we'll term it rescue, for citizens out in some of the rural areas and higher elevations. And I know they were out yesterday doing that as well.
What kinds of things are people needing help with? Is it like sliding off the road when they're driving, or is it trapped inside their houses because a lot of snowfall, regular predictable things, or are people acting as they shouldn't?
No, I think it's the more predictable things. I don't have a specific example, but my take from what I hear about it is that it's more like stuck in the snow, needing to get out and can't get out, those type of things.
So you guys show up with your snowplow?
Yeah, we have a really nice snowcat, and so they'll.
Oh, you've got one. You got a big toy.
Yes.
Oh, have you got to drive that?
I have not.
Driving it?
I've not driven in this one. It's
really?
You
got to get out of the office, man.
I know. I do.
Yeah, and if they tell you they're going to let you drive it in the middle of summer. Either sending you way, way away, or you're going to have some damage when you're done.
Yes.
Yeah. I would think that kind of thing, it is intriguing how different departments have to have different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we were in Sierra County, you probably have a fleet of those.
Yes.
Here we have boats. They don't have too many boats in the mountains. You know, yep. Those types of things. When you get folks trained up here, I would think that some of those areas of expertise is really what they excel in.
Yes, and we have just in our, I guess, region, we get called on. I wouldn't say a lot, but it's not uncommon for us to get requested by some of the surrounding counties that don't have the resources that we have. and you know, our sheriff is always willing to help, and so our guys will go into other neighboring counties as well to assist them, just because we have some equipment that they don't.
Is that that driving fort thing? I don't know what it's
called. Oh, the Bearcat?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of a...
It's probably not what you guys call it, huh?
No, that is what we call
Bearcat?
It. Yeah, I think that's...
Not the driving fort?
We don't call it the driving fort,
okay.
No.
Sheriff's Marine Posse, is it still? We haven't heard about it for a while, but for a long time it was a big deal, a lot of fundraising, folks getting involved, a lot of community interaction with that. Does it still exist?
So we still have a sheriff's posse, and they are a volunteer based group that participate with special services. And quite frankly, many, many of the tasks that special services does, they can't do without the volunteers. I mean, we have these services because of our volunteers. We have some really, really experienced and just fine people from the community that sign up, and they volunteer when we have a search or something. For instance, you know, maybe it's out in the snow and it's going to involve hiking, maybe spending the night.
The lost hunter kind of scenario.
Yes. Yeah. And we have community members that have volunteered their time, and they go out and do this essentially for free as a service to the community. So we couldn't do a lot of the things we do for the community in that respect without our volunteer posse program.
So kind of like the old-fashioned posse. Yeah, you round up the town, and they go looking for the kid that's lost or the bad guy that just held up the bank, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So the Marine Posse was just kind of like a subset of that? It was focused specifically on the waterways?
Yes, and then we've had a mounted posse, which was the horseback. So
ooh,
there's been a
cool.
few... You know, over the years, but as of where it is right now, the bulk of our posse members are for the Special Services Division.
Motorcycle posse. You probably get
I don't know if we have
gazillion
one
guys won that one,
yeah.
Huh? The trail bikes and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Or the TV posse.
We'd have a lot for that.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of expertise, I would presume, also.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. If folks want to get involved with that kind of thing, is there thresholds that they have to attain to be a volunteer, or can they just kind of show up and help out with training and you guys working with them?
Yes. So there is a vetting process, and they... there is a little bit of a process to go through to be signed on, but anyone can come and apply to be a member of the posse.
Like a background check to make sure that
exactly.
You, yeah, I mean, the things that you would anticipate or that we would all want to have.
Yes.
Rather than just turn a bunch of goofballs loose.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, like me.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, your forehead did. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Lieutenant Sam from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. So what's new out there? I mean, there's a lot of technologies. We keep hearing things rather than talking about budgets and all that kind of routine stuff. Are there some things that are out there that are kind of cool?
Well, I can speak to the division that I am primarily overseeing, and that's in the Major Crimes Division. We've had this last week, we actually had some a neat press release we were able to put out. It's the genetic genealogy investigations. It's on the one that we were able to identify this week. We worked in conjunction with the Department of Justice, and to make a really long story short, we're using places like GEDmatch, and for instance, you know, there's research done on like Ancestry and 23andMe and those kind of sites. We're using some of those to identify remains of those that we have that have never been identified to this point. So this week we had a 1998 case where we were able to successfully identify the person, and we have another one that is in the works that will be coming out probably in the next couple of weeks. We're doing some confirmation, but that has been kind of the newer technology thing that
it's out there. So, mm-hmm. So when you say identified, does that mean the case was solved? Or does that mean that you found somebody and nobody knew who they were and, okay, now you got a name, but that doesn't solve the case?
It just depends on what we know about the case. So if it was a homicide, it was ruled a homicide, that wouldn't solve the case. It just tells us who the person is. I think a lot of different factors contribute to why we have some unknown or unidentified remains, and the rurality of us has some to do with that. The population of those that are homeless.
So this wasn't a crime necessarily. It was just it was a body that was found.
Correct. It was remains that were found, and they were badly decomposed at the time in 1998. And the autopsy, what we could do at that point, it didn't indicate a homicide. So in this case, it would close the case, I guess, with identifying the person and being able to notify next of kin. But if there was a crime, obviously that wouldn't just close the case.
Right. So, but you're using some of these commercial programs or software that I could, in theory, sign up for.
Yes.
And that's provide that. How are you doing that? Is that with the chromosomes?
Yes, so our samples, we have DNA, yes, and so we're submitting these. We become basically members of these groups under the sheriff's office, and then we can submit different things, but we can also look at potentials, and it gives us leads to follow up on and just contact people and say, hey, did you have for example, a brother that maybe you haven't contacted and was in Humboldt around the 1990s? And they said, yeah, I did. And you kind of are able to you're on the right track.
Bring it together that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I'm kind of surprised that there wasn't commercial isn't the right one, but I guess a law enforcement version.
Well,
of that would provide you that information along with Ancestry, you know, all these various entities that are out there in a single compilation point that you could then submit. Because, I mean, if you've got DNA on somebody you're not sure of, some of these folks may not have that ability to utilize that information.
True, and there is a system for that. It's just the parameters for being entered into it are more limited, whereas if you just sign up for one of these groups willfully, you can enter your own stuff and then it's there for, you know, other people to look at.
Okay. How far back does that go with the DNA elements of it? I mean, could you I remember when Merle Harpin was still active with mm-hmm. EPD, that he talked about cases from the 40s and the 30s that hadn't been solved, that they were there, they had evidence, but they weren't able to put things together. Now, whether or not this would solve that mm-hmm. is different, but how far back can you utilize these programs or these services?
Well, in that respect, I mean, if you have the evidence and it's not contaminated or lost, if it's there, you can use it indefinitely. So if you, but you have to have collected it. So in the 40s, when they didn't know the DNA would be a thing, you may not have collected items that might possess DNA for a later testing. But we're constantly doing that, looking at our old cases, looking at evidence that we have, and the potential of submitting it for DNA when DNA didn't exist in the years that the case was taken.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Lieutenant Sam Williams from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. New stuff is kind of, it's cool, it's sexy. How do you avoid chasing this shiny bauble and putting a lot of attention in the new stuff or trying to figure out how to get the new stuff rather than taking care of the mundane and the routine?
I guess we don't. I mean, as it relates to equipment, is that
equipment technology of any sort?
Yeah.
New ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in another department, somewhere in the state, came up with a new idea, a new way of doing things, and it might be significantly different than what you guys are doing now. Mm-hmm. And you know, the temptation is, well, let's do what they're doing. It's working for them.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess you really don't. We still have to do the grind and what we know works. It's a constant thing though. And of course the funding to get those shiny new technologies is always a factor as well. So when you know the funding isn't there to get it, you don't spend a lot of time drooling over it.
You don't try to do a workaround to figure out how you can get something almost as good?
And we do. We get creative with things, but yeah. If for instance, right now my division is really, you know, wanting this upgraded scanner, and it's a really neat piece of equipment that scans
ground scanning stuff?
No, it's more of it's like a 3D imager. So we at different scenes, you set up this, it's almost like looks like a piece of survey equipment, except it creates a 3D image of the entire place and everything in its position so that you can go back and look at it after you're finished or you're back in the office, and you can generate a 3D image of it. You can even do a 3D, like a fly through. And
so it's almost like a virtual model.
It is. So, and it's an expensive piece of equipment. It's just the newer models out and it cuts the time significantly, and
like hours to minutes kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And but again, you know, it's we have one that works.
How many zeros?
It's got at least, it's a six-figure number, so,
yeah. Yeah, You sign out on that one.
Yes.
You just don't take it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, if you need to justify it, it's probably pretty easy to justify it.
It's absolutely.
It saves time. It does this. It does that. It solves cases that wouldn't otherwise be. Hana.
Yes.
However, when you're looking at that versus what else those dollars could be utilized for.
Especially when you have something that works and does the job, it's just going to take you a little bit more time, and it doesn't have all the little newer updates and intricacies.
How often, Sam, would something like that be used ideally? Is that a daily use piece of gear?
It really just depends on, I mean, if you have the crime that you need it every day, then yes, you'd use it every day. We use it, I want to say on every single scene that Major Crimes goes to, but that might be a bit of a stretch. But
what is a major crime?
Well, it's really anything that is going to arise to a level that is beyond what patrol can investigate and be able to move to their next call for service, because their calls for service continue to come in, and they're handling the bulk of things, but when something comes in that requires more time, more resources, is going to require a more lengthy investigation or follow up, those kind of things, then that gets sent to the Major Crimes Division.
So it wouldn't, but you couldn't say a fire, something that could result in a felony prosecution. I mean, there's no broad strokes. It's I hate to use this, but I'm going to, case by case basis.
Yeah, it really is a case by case basis. We do all homicides and sex crimes, abuse crimes, but we do internet crimes as well.
With something, huh?
Yeah,
so you get into civil crimes, I guess, can be a major.
No, I wasn't going to delve into it, but that's the one that nobody likes, which is the internet crimes against children. So it's basically the.
Oh, okay. So it ends up as a sex crime or trafficking.
Yes.
But it's just done electronically, as the contacting rather than candy in the van scenario.
So we belong to a task force, and we have an MOU with Sacramento, and they have a base out of there. So we get daily investigations that we deal with that as well.
Okay. Jump into that one a little deeper. So Sacramento is kind of like a regional hub?
Yes.
For some of this stuff?
Yes. And they have a task force, and we belong to that task force. And so they get the, we'll say, initial information that sort of, for lack of better words, trips the triggers, and then they notify us and send us the information to investigate and follow up
on. So you're part of the team rather than they're being concerned that either it's a Humboldt County kid or somebody in Humboldt County is doing it, or they're coming through Humboldt County. You're just
correct.
part of the team.
We're just part of the greater team, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Whew. Yeah. I know there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there, but yikes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, if it was to that level. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Lieutenant Sam Williams from Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. With some of these cases, Sam, that are, I guess, joint efforts, I would think that that's got to be one of the really cool things. I mean, whether it's like the Drug Task Force, so it's all the local guys, mm-hmm. or something like you're alluding to at the state level or out of Sacramento, mm-hmm. just because you get around others that are as passionate about what you do, and you have that commonality, it kind of feeds on itself. And everybody gets excited, and that's where the new ideas and the cool thoughts come from.
It really is. The networking that we're able to do with people from outside agencies that, and some of them that just, they might have more expertise in a certain area, or they have a template for something that we haven't done yet, and so we don't need to recreate the wheel. We can pull out our list of people that we work with and say, hey, do you have something that covers this verbiage? And yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of benefits to it, but, and it never surprises me either. It's just a small world. You end up working with people in person, you know, they'll call you up from a training you've been to with them. Hey, we're coming up to Humboldt to do an investigation on this, you know, can you help us out? Show us where we might be at, or.
Not where's the good barbecue joints?
Well, that too.
That too. As you work into those areas, and certainly as you start, you get, you know, more of a gray beard, you really appreciate a lot of that connection and that opportunity in knowledge. I would think that would be something that you could really lock in on and almost make it a career after, let's say, 50. So you've got a number of years under your belt to develop those efficiencies and those contacts and just kind of be the facilitator in all the various areas and not matchmaker, but I guess kind of sort of in a weird kind of way for law enforcement. I mean, are there guys that provide that function in some of the larger departments? Just kind of coordinating and making sure that everything's kind of flowing between different areas?
You know, I don't know about in like a retirement or after.
Well, a senior management position, sir. I found out Tuesday that above sergeant is senior management.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I suppose there are people that are doing it, and I think they're probably doing it in a lot of ways that don't have a title. They're just doing it because
just doing it
works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when you go to some of those conferences that you attend, is that part of the goal? To reconnect or to establish those connections so that if you do have a situation, you know, not only that somebody can help, but who they are and how to make that connection.
Absolutely. That's always one of the most important aspects of going to a training or a conference or a seminar. It is who you're going to meet there and what resources they have. And we exchange cards or numbers or whatever. And at the end of a lot of the classes, they have a sign up. And so you'll get the person's name, phone number, agency, email address. And I can't count the amount of times I've pulled one of those back out and been like, oh, I remember, you know, so-and-so, and shoot them an email. And there's the quick, you know, reintroduction. And then always.
How's the kid? How's the family? Okay. Yep. Hey, by the way, I need some help here. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've had great success with it. I mean, all over.
Now, I am aware that there's a lot of movement in the entry level and the lower levels of departments. Is there a lot for mid and senior management also? I mean, you go to the conventions and Bob's working with Tehama Sheriff. At that point in his career, is he pretty much locked down there, or is that you have to kind of make an effort to follow their careers also because they're moving around a fair amount?
Yeah, so there is a lot of movement, and it really just depends on the agency and their structure as to how much movement there is. But it inevitably happens. I mean, you figure someone gets into what you might refer to as a senior management position, and they're typically later in their career. So 5 years goes by in the blink of an eye, and it's like, oh yeah, they retired. So when you go to the classes, even if you've been to the class before, you know the information is going to be relatively the same. So networking is your priority.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for those folks then that have a tough time understanding training, they don't grasp that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not that much. That much hasn't changed in 2 years.
Yes.
Well, it depends on what you're focusing on.
Exactly.
Yeah. If it's the textbook, yeah, it's the same textbook. But case studies have changed. Mm-hmm. Case law has changed. Technology has changed.
Yes.
Players have changed.
Yep.
A lot of stuff.
Exactly.
How do you keep abreast of the technology side of things? I mean, if you're not able to buy the latest, greatest whiz-bang, you're probably not looking at the catalogs. Is this kind of the way you do it, by talking with other folks or, I guess, emailing and texting with other folks?
Yes, but individuals we have working in, at least with me, they're always up on the new stuff. And they're want pushing. It. So
yeah.
They bring it to my attention.
Yeah, imagine that. Ah, cool. Well, have fun while the cat's away.
Yeah, yep.
Meow, baby.
That's it.
See you tomorrow.